If you can, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. It is a word I preached in Amharic service, and I can read it from here, verse 20. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. These two verses are found in chapter 13 of Hebrews. You know, Hebrews have 13 chapters, and the last chapter and the last verses of the chapter are these amazing two verses. Now, the God of peace, it starts like that. These verses are presented as a prayer, as a closing prayer for the recipients, and have important insight to them as well as to us. So I wouldn't take too much time because it is getting late, but I want to mention a few things according to my points here. The first one is God is a God of peace. Inspired author said, now the God of peace. This is the beginning of the conclusion of the book of Hebrews, and he is mentioning that our God is the God of peace. He is the God of peace. He is both the source of peace and a giver of peace. Our Lord is a source of peace and a giver of peace. But peace in Hebrew and peace in Greek has a deep meaning or a broader meaning than that is in English. You know, in English, peace is just a noun, and it cannot be a verb. But in Hebrew, it can be a verb. It can be verb. It can be noun. It can be also adjective, and it can be used in a broader sense than in English. So understanding it in a broader sense as it is in Hebrew has so many benefits. So when we are saying, for example, you cannot say, I peaced you. That is not possible in English. But in Hebrew, you can say, I shalomed you. The word peace in Hebrew is shalom. It means I am going to make you complete, full, and without lacking anything. So the word shalom in Hebrew means complete. It is a different meaning than English. In English, maybe people are thinking that peace is tranquility or calmness, and associated with emotion, with senses, and so on. But in Hebrew, it is far broader than this. So it means completeness, kind of lacking nothing, or if you like, perfection. This can be gleaned from Old Testament, from so many Old Testament texts. You can see this. For example, I can go down in my note, Deuteronomy 25:15. Deuteronomy 25:15, it says, but thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure. When you see this in Hebrew, it says, but thou shalt have a shalom and just weight, a shalom and just measure. So it is shalom, actually, perfectness and completeness. Nothing lacking is peace, as it is mentioned in the Hebrew text. So many of the Old Testament saints and brothers and sisters were known about having this for having this particular peace, full dependence on God and full trust in God. For example, I have given two examples, Abraham and also Daniel. When you see the life of Abraham, it was amazing. It was ups and downs, but it was with full, complete peace. It's amazing when the Lord God asked him, Abraham, now I ask you to sacrifice your son, your only son, on the place I'm going to show you. And he picked up the woods and he made everything ready for the travel. He traveled 3 days travel, and while traveling and while he was also raising his hand with a knife, there was no worry mentioned in the life of Abraham. He was full of peace, complete trust in the Lord. This completeness is mentioned whenever it is we mention God of peace. God in himself is complete with everything, and he is the one who can make us complete, full of peace in the world we are in. I know the world we are in is full of disturbance, full of worries, full of uncertainties. In the time of uncertainty and full of worries, the only thing that can keep us from being worried and confused is having the peace of God in our life, the shalom of God. So God is the only one who can give that kind of completeness in the life of people. When we see this, my second point is what God of peace did in order to give us this particular peace. What did he do? To be the God of peace for you and me? What did he do? It's amazing. The portion of scripture we read, this Hebrews 13, is mentioning in verse 21, amazing thing. It says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So the Lord God has done one miraculous thing in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world born of a woman, a Virgin Mary, and he lived a life like us, and he died on Calvary cross, taking and bearing our sin on the cross. He died for us on the cross of Calvary, and he gave himself for us on the cross of Calvary, and he took our sins upon himself, and he suffered for it on the cross of Calvary, and he died on our behalf, and he was raised again on the third day from the dead. So the author is saying, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. Death can be considered as incompleteness, separation, you know. The Lord Jesus Christ is brought out of the dead by the power of the Almighty God. Of course, by his power as well, the Lord Jesus Christ, even though he died, he is full of divine power. So he raised from the dead and made that amazing miracle for us. Because of him, we can have peace with God, our Creator. And the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 mentioned it several times. You will be amazed when you see Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, I will begin reading from verse 14. But it's amazing. It says, for he is our peace. The Lord Jesus Christ is our shalom, our completeness, our entirety. It is the idea. Who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. It's amazing. He made peace between us and God, and he made peace between us and us. The Lord Jesus Christ, the maker of peace. So the Lord God raised him from the dead, and he made him to be our peace, and he made him to make peace between himself and us, who were his enemies. We were his enemies. Now we have got complete trust and dependence because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary Cross. It's amazing when you consider a few verses in this Ephesians chapter 2. The Lord Jesus Christ, even after raising from the dead, he preached peace. It says here, he preached for those who are far and for those who are near. Peace was the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ after resurrection. It's amazing. Peace was preached by the Lord Jesus Christ after he has been raised from the dead. So that completeness, that reconciliation, that oneness be with the eternal and amazing God can be possibly achieved by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is done by the peace of God on our behalf and for our benefit. And my third point, I must run and complete my message. God of peace in believers. What is this God of peace doing in the believer's life? It is important to understand this part of the scripture as well. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21, after mentioning what God has done in the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to mention, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. So this God, God of peace, is going to do several things in the life of believers. The first one, as you can see, is make you perfect. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will. We need to be perfect in the sight of God. Albert Barnes, I mentioned it here, said that, especially on this particular thing, he said that God would fully endow them with whatever grace was necessary to do his will and to keep his commandments. His people should be qualified to do his work, and this must be our prayer. This must be our prayer, is my additional word, not Albert Barnes. So he said his people should be qualified to do his work. In order to be qualified to do the work of God, we must be perfect. And the one who can make us perfect is God himself, the God of peace. He will perfect us through Christ, our Savior, because it is mentioned, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ. We can try to be perfect, but no one is perfect. Me, I'm not perfect. No one of us. But through Christ, when God works in us, through Christ, we can be accepted by God as if we are perfect. This is amazing thing that is given to believers. But this verse 21 shows us another thing. He makes you perfect in every good work in order to do his will. We are obliged, or we as believers should desire to do the will of the Lord. When we are doing the will of the Lord, that the work of the Lord in us would be well pleasing in his sight. I was amazed this morning when our brother Seth was reading what is the Sunday quote from Henry, Matthew Henry, and he said, "The joy of the Lord will arm us against the assaults of our spiritual enemies." The joy of the Lord, that is what is mentioned here. He will make you well-pleasing before his eyes, before his sight. So when we are, when God is working in us through Christ, and when he is making us well-pleasing in his sight, the Lord God will be pleased, and he will rejoice in you and me. This is really amazing. If God is going to be pleased by work and by my work, by your family, by my family, by your personal character, and by your service to the Lord, it should be something that we should be amazed. Yes, the Lord will be happy and will be rejoicing in us because of what he is going to do through Christ in our life. But the thing I mentioned, the quote this morning, is because it is also mentioned in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, I can read it from the slide here. Nehemiah, before the people of the Lord, says, "For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." This is what is quoted by Matthew Henry here. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. If you really pleasing, well-pleasing, not just pleasing, well-pleasing, give joy to the Lord in your life, in your deportment, if you like, or in your character, in your service to the Lord, the Lord will give you amazing thing. It has so many advantages. People forget this. People don't know this. If you rejoice the Lord, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. And he will be with you in every work. We should be empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit and will be sustained, will be supported, and will be strengthened in every situation we are in, if we are rejoicing the Lord, our God, or if we are giving joy, well-pleasing to our Lord and our Creator. So these are some of the things I want you to think about. If believers well-please the Lord, it is for their strength, for their well-being, for their fruitfulness, for their success in their ministry and in their life. Oh, what a comfort you would get if you please the Lord. Oh, what strength you would get if you please the Lord. Please remember these words. Well-pleasing the Lord should be our work. And, of course, this can be done by the help of our great God through the power of the Holy Spirit and through our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless us and strengthen us in this thinking tonight. God bless you, and I'm done.